Will you please pray with me? Father, we thank you for grace through which we have been saved by you. Thank you for your word, which has been inspired by you and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that we may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We praise you, Father, and thank you in your Son's name. Amen. Communion is that time that we come together and celebrate. It's a celebration for believers. And as many of you already know, it is a time for worship. It is a time that we remember what Christ did for us, to reflect on the amazing truth that God chose us before the foundation of the world to receive the gift of faith, that we might believe in Christ's death and his resurrection as the source of our salvation. If you are a visitor to Grace Bible Church and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then please join us in this celebration. If you are not a believer and have no claim to faith in Jesus, then communion is not for you. However, we are glad that you are here, and we want you to know that you are not here by chance. God himself has brought you to Grace Bible Church to hear the good news of his gospel. The truth that he sent his only son to save sinners like you and me. Everyone in this room was born a sinner. However, some have been given the faith to believe that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day, demonstrating his power over sin and death. It is our prayer for you, unbeliever, that God would allow you to believe and cause your heart to ask the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you choose not to confess and submit to Christ, please allow the bread and juice to pass you by. And if you are a believer, please use this time to examine your heart and address any unconfessed sin in your life. But before we examine our hearts, please turn to Titus 3. Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. And let's read it together. For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul is writing to Titus, instructing him how to carry on the gospel work on the island of Crete in a way that would bring honor to God. He is instructing Titus to teach the church how to live. The goal of the church has not changed over 2,000 years, and that is to live a life transformed by the Holy Spirit and to become conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Paul was concerned about how the church in Crete would be able to demonstrate to the surrounding world that God saves people from their sin. Isn't that our goal today? Don't we want to live a changed life that demonstrates God's power over our sin? Don't we want to live in a way that we can rejoice in our salvation no matter what the circumstances? Don't we want a testimony that declares how God rescued us from a hopeless and helpless condition? All praise to the honor and to the author and perfecter of our faith, who has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to live this type or this kind of transformed life. Right before our passage today in verses 1 and 2 of Titus 3, Paul is reminding Titus that in order to be different from the world and to glorify God, we are to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Then Paul goes on to say that we are not only to look differently, but we are to have a proper response to a pagan culture. To this, we must remember our former condition. Verse 3. We also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. In a few hours, most of us will have departed from Grace Bible Church and will be confronted with a sinful world of greed, jealousy, anger, and self-centeredness. Before you get upset with the characteristics of this worldly behavior, remember, we also once were one of them. Did you forget? Why is the world this way? It is because we are deceived and enslaved to sin. They are foolish, just like we were. They lack understanding, just like we did. They are completely ignorant and left to figure things out on their own. They have no power over their depravity, and they cannot understand the truth because they are spiritually depraved. Except for God's grace, that is you. Before you were saved, you were no different. Believer, do not be boastful. We are sinners saved by grace, and we must not forget who we were before Christ came and rescued us from the evil one and delivered us into his glorious kingdom. So how should we look at the world of depravity? We see them as helpless and hopeless without a Savior. We must remember our salvation. Verse 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of the deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We didn't deserve our salvation. We didn't deserve our transformation or our deliverance from sin and hell. It was purely God's love and kindness. We were not worthy, nor did we make any contribution to his choosing us. He looked at us with compassion and love and kindness and mercy and saved us. Paul says in verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement. In other words, what we just read is undeniable truth. It is obvious and needs no further proof. It is a trustworthy statement. The only reason you are an heir and have the hope of eternal life is because of the grace of God. The only reason you are justified and made right with God is because of his grace. The only reason you have come through Jesus Christ to receive the Holy Spirit and have been renewed, regenerated, and washed is because of God's amazing grace. This is a trustworthy statement. Believers, let's celebrate communion together. Men, please come and serve the bread and the juice and take communion on your own when you're ready.